When it comes to the Most Holy Trinity, good and smart preachers ultimately end their sermons saying, "It is a mystery." It is. Not just the concept of the Trinity, but ultimately, God is mystery. Today I'm going where I have been hesitant to go before in my reflections on the Trinity. I'm approaching this homily from the perspective of mystery. Folks, a few years back, some of you will remember this, I composed a prayer for the parish as we observed the year of the Eucharist. And I began this prayer by addressing God as Father, as Mother, as Creator, and Friend. For years, it is how I address God in my personal prayer. Now, the parish was fine with it, and we prayed that prayer for a whole year. One day, though, we had an out-of-state visitor at one of the Sunday Masses. He had come to Dayton for his son's soccer tournament, and they did not want to miss Mass, being a very fervent Catholic family. And I think it is commendable. So they came here for Mass, and the parish prayed this prayer: "Dear God, our Father, our Mother, our Creator, and our Friend." And after Mass, he met me at the back, and he castigated me about the prayer. He said that his son was now totally confused because we addressed God as Father and Mother. And I offered every possible explanation, but he was not convinced. Finally, he left saying that he was going to write to the Archbishop, and he did. Unfortunately, the email actually went to Father Dave. You can imagine my relief that the Archbishop didn't get that letter, but Father Dave, and Father Dave pretty much backed up my theological explanation for all of this, and he thought like I did. But that was the last I heard about it. When we say that God is mystery, we recognize that whereas we know some things about God, we don't understand it all. When we say that God is mystery, we admit that our language fails to capture the totality of God's being. Not merely our language, but also our intellect is incapable of comprehending the totality of God's being. Ultimately, all our descriptions about God, Father, Mother, Creator, Friend, Savior, Redeemer, Alpha, Omega, all of them put together fall woefully short of describing who God is. To say that one can only call God Father is to underestimate the mystery that God is. Since it's the Feast of the Trinity, I want to continue using 3 points for my homily today. First of all, God, the ultimate mystery. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Now, the concept of mystery, the concept itself, is not alien to us, right? The universe, for example, is a mystery. In spite of the enormous amount of information we have about the universe, do you know that we have discovered just 4% of the ever-expanding universe? Only 4%. Because the universe remains a mystery. After decades of study and research, even the closest planet remains a mystery. For that matter, life is a mystery. The human person is a mystery. Couples spend decades together and yet never unravel the total mystery of their partner. Often, we're mystery to ourselves. However, the divine God remains the greatest mystery. I appreciate the idea of God as Trinity, three persons, one God. I appreciate the idea of the Trinity, of God as Trinity, and I appreciate it in all its depths because it tells me that we cannot nail God down. That God is beyond any human imagination. That God cannot be captured by our limited understanding, but rather that God can only be the object of our awe. That God is God, capital G-O-D. When I address God as Father and Mother and Creator and Friend, it is my way of saying that each time I come before God, I stand before the ultimate mystery that is awe. God, the ultimate mystery. I want to take this one step forward. The other day, this is my second point. The other day, a high schooler came to me and asked me this question. And good for her. She said, "Do you think that the many religions of the world is God's will?" Good question from a high schooler, huh? Do you think that all the religions of the world, or the many religions of the world, is God's will? That's a difficult question to answer, and I thought about it, and perhaps there is an answer from the perspective of mystery. Folks, the ultimate goal of every religious tradition is to offer a path to salvation to its followers. The emphasis of each religious tradition might be different, but the goal is the same: salvation. As Catholics, we believe that Christ has revealed everything we need to know for human salvation. As a Catholic priest, I believe that my salvation is with Christ and Christ alone. I respect and honor other faith traditions, but they are not my path to salvation. It works for them, but it doesn't work for me. My search has ended. And if Christ is my salvation, I do not need another path to salvation. But, it would be very different if I claimed that as a priest and as a Catholic priest, I have discovered the totality of God. Two different things. I have found my way to salvation, but that does not mean I have found and discovered the totality of God. It is not possible for me to even claim that Catholicism has unraveled the totality of the mystery of God. God is bigger than Catholicism. God is bigger than the church. God is Trinity and more, and more. So here's the point I'm trying to make. That all the religions of the world put together cannot capture the totality of God. There are many religions. Is it God's will? I do not know. I do know that you put them all together and we still cannot capture the mystery that is God. For this reason, hear what the church says about other religions. Likewise, other religions found everywhere try to counter the restlessness of the human heart, each in its own manner, by proposing ways comprising teaching, rules of life, and sacred rites. Hear this carefully. The Catholic Church rejects nothing that is true and holy in these religions. She regards with sincere reverence those ways of conduct and life, those precepts and teachings which, though differing in many aspects from the one she holds and sets forth, nonetheless often reflect a ray of truth which enlightens all people. It's a very powerful statement. In one sense that we are all in some way moving towards that same divine mystery. and that none of us has a monopoly over God. This is the church's way of accepting that God is mystery. So now in my third point, a few practical implications. If the triune God has created the world and created human persons in God's image and likeness, then the world and every person is a reflection of the divine and triune mystery. I mean, this is like 2 + 2 = 4. If it's the triune God that's created everything that we know in ourselves, and if we are made in the image and likeness of God, then we are reflections of that divine and triune mystery. This means that we approach creation, that when we approach creation, we approach it in awe. This means the whole earth is holy ground and we tread upon it carefully. This means that we love, that we live life with a profound sense of mystery and awe. This means that every human person is a reflection of divine mystery, and that we approach every person, irrespective of their race, ethnicity, nationality, and status, with a sense of awe. This means that our families and homes are modeled around the Trinitarian model of equality, of reverence, and of love. This means that we approach all the religions of the world with an attitude of respect and reverence. This means that God is a Trinitarian community, and thus the human race is diverse but one single community. Three persons, one God. We are all billions of people, but one humanity. This means that each time we come to the Eucharist, we tremble. Each time we hold the body and blood of Christ in our hands, we tremble, because we hold that very divine mystery in our hands. Folks, our understanding of God as divine and triune mystery has the potential to bring about a paradigm shift in our understanding of ourselves and everything around us. Yes, if we can look at everything as a reflection of the triune God, I think it'll change how we relate to the world and to each other. If we see ourselves, the world, and the people around us as a reflection of the Trinity, then we are compelled to approach them with the same sense of awe that we have when you approach God. Folks, every Eucharist, and I'm going to conclude with this, every Eucharist is a manifestation of the Holy Trinity. God sends the Holy Spirit upon the bread and wine, and it becomes the body and blood of Christ. The same triune God, and I think this is what I find truly unfathomable, that this divine mystery, by inviting us to participate in this Eucharist, makes us part of that mystery. It's not just the bread and wine that becomes the body and blood of Christ. The community becomes the body of Christ. And this is a mystery. People of God said,